Let's look at Colossians 1, 13 through 14. Let me read this to you. We're in our series about the switch that God makes in our life. It's a beautiful transformation from what we were to what he calls us to be. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sin, and it's in him. Let's pray together. Would you bow with me? Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. May he hear from you. Even though we've given our worship, we acknowledge our love to him. And then let your prayer be a prayer of thanks. So let the Holy Spirit show you, reveal to you what you need to be thankful for in this moment. Just say thank you. And then take a moment and pray for people who overlap into your life. We do want to pray our own things for others, but specifically those who overlap into your life recently or continually do. Take a moment and pray for them. Mention, give their name to our Heavenly Father. And then we take a moment and we pray for the nations. We're called to the nations. We may be located between Lawrenceburg and Frankfurt, but it doesn't matter your location. All churches are called to the nations. So we pray for the nations. Pray for nations that you have a connection to, an affinity for, ever how that connection occurs. People you support in ministry that are in other countries. Pray for the nations. Great movements of God are happening in other places. We think it happens only in America and America first, but great movements of God are taking place throughout parts of the world. So just ask for his movement upon nations. We pray for Myanmar as the earthquake is there. Thousands have died, rescue is going on, relief efforts, resourcing. Thailand as well, we're helping. We're not the only church, but we're helping plant a church in Thailand. Now the couple is from our church that's planting that church. They're more out in the country, but pray for them. Just the rescue efforts, all that's going on there. Pray for Ukraine and pray for Russia. There's peace. Your prayers matter. We don't do this just to check it off. When I hear something about a ceasefire or maybe the end of the war, it perks my hearing and my ears because of our prayers. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Lord tells us in his sermon that blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons and the daughters of God. Pray for those around you today, if you will, a blessing over them. Pray for your family, wherever they may be. Take a moment and see them and give their name to our Heavenly Father. Pray a blessing over them today. Ask the Lord to open up your heart and ears, your spiritual ears today to his word. Not only that, some of you have given an offering already. Some of you brought it today. We use what you give us to be a part of the kingdom mission and to have a kingdom mission throughout this world. So pray a blessing over your offering, if you will. And then we remind you always, you're an offering. You're a living sacrifice. Not only do we present financial offering, but we present our lives to him to use us in his kingdom work. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher and I'm your preacher. On me is a greater, more strict judgment. You're just tougher on me than you are anybody else. And I know that. And Lord, I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you today. Today we're going to be talking about the switch or the transfer that occurs is going to be from darkness to light. We're going to talk about darkness in a moment, what it represents, what it does to us, how it affects all of our lives. But I want to begin in John 1, 4, and 5. We're going to be in the Gospel of John a lot. And I want to show you, he puts a lot of focus on light. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels. It means they have a lot of similar stories in them. John is not a synoptic gospel. It's a gospel, but it's not a parallel gospel. John really goes his own way, a little different, pun intended, light shown, okay? And he's really connected to light heavily. And he writes about it in this gospel. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. He's talking about life in Christ. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. Quick reminder, things can be chaotic and crazy and out of order in our world. Don't be afraid, okay? Darkness is not going to overcome light. It's not going to win, all right? So just rest in that. The church of the Lord is indestructible. Kings and armies and nations will not be able to destroy it. Hell can't destroy it. As a pastor, I need to remind you, in relationship with Jesus is where you want to be, and fellowship with the church is where you want to be. Because the church is indestructible, absolutely. Darkness, it did not and will not overcome it in any way. So you're going to see that John has this vision, and if you've been a part of our Wednesday night studies, the last ones that we had, we've been talking about visions. We've been talking about God's revelation of seeing the unseen. And obviously, John has a picture in his head as he writes this about what darkness is and what the light of the gospel of Christ looks like. So he loves light. I'm going to let you peer into my life for a moment. I love light. I love light. I love lumens, okay? I love lumens. I mean, in the recent years, taking care of me, Mom, Papa, I'm an avid duck hunter, and there's places in Arkansas. I've been all over Arkansas hunting and Mississippi hunting. So we're wading in waist-deep water. It's usually cold. We've had to break ice, wading in water. It's dark. I even though they're not alligators where I hunt, I'm envisioning that they are there, and there's weird stuff under the water. And so we're putting out decoys and we're breaking ice and getting what we call the duck hole ready to go. And sometimes the moon is a little bit of a help because it's shining brightly. Sometimes it's overcast and cloudy, but we have headlamps on. You put the hat on backwards so the bill is not in the way. And we put these headlamps on as we're getting rid of the ice, or we're putting out decoys, or getting the dogs placed, or getting the boat hidden, or whatever it is we do. I'm just going to tell you my light. I think there's like 4 different LED lights off of my headlamp. I mean, I love light. I love it. I used to have a Polaris, 6-seat Polaris, and it had this light bar I put on the front of it. And I mean, it would light you up. You could fry bologna on that thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was hot. You could see me coming. I've told people many times, I look like an alien spaceship that's landed, you know? And I've goose hunted a whole lot around here on farms. So if somebody's talked about an alien encounter recently or over the years around this area, it just could have been me going across the field and getting things ready for the duck hunt, because we're getting ready really in the middle of the night when we do that. I know I've got a favorite light of mine that I got from Jason Gilbert over here. And I mean, you can shine that beam, just go, it's piercing. And they've even evolved since the one I got from him. Bobby, our bass guitar player, gave me a flashlight that I use literally every day. And it's got all, you know, low to high. I think there's five different settings. It has strobes. It has the SOS signal on it. And I know our whole subdivision goes, well, the preacher's out on his back deck again, you know, because we sit a little higher on the hill in our subdivision and they can see me all over. But I just love light. I'm fascinated with how much things can, you can light things up. I'm going through our house and we're going from that low light to that daylight bulb. You know what I'm talking about? And is just lighting everything up in our house. I want to confess to you, I'm of age now that when I get up in the middle of the night, I have to have a night light, okay? I've had stumped toes and bruised foreheads from getting up during the night and running. In fact, I've actually run into this cross over here. If I came in this side and it takes you a minute to get over to the light switch. And I thought, man, I could just make it. You know, I can make it. And my head and that edge of that cross are about the same height. And I've run into that thing so many times. So I just want you to know I love light. I want it to be around me. I connect with John in his love for light, even though it would be a different connection that he has. But I know that John loves writing that Jesus is the light of light. Can I tell you something that doesn't have to do with light? This is just funny, all right? On my Polaris, I had these tires and the tread on them because I would run into water. And in fact, I'd have water up in my Polaris all the way up to the seat if you're sitting in them, taking people to duck blinds. And the tires were called mother-in-laws. And that's just free, okay? Mother-in-laws is what they were called. I'll never forget that as long as I live. So whatever that's worth, you take it with you today. But it has nothing to do with the sermon at all. Absolutely nothing. So John is really given a picture, because in Scripture there's a lot of talk about darkness, but John talks about darkness in a spiritual way, and how it's a spiritual darkness. Scripture talks about at creation there was darkness, that there's just normal darkness with clouds coming in. There's darkness that reacts to the death of Jesus. As you know, the sky was darkened. There's even a movement that God said to Moses, you'll find it in Exodus 10, that he said to Moses, hold up your hand, Moses. As you stretch out your hand, there'll be a darkness over all the land, and that darkness will be so dark that you feel it. It's a darkness that is felt. There's all kinds of descriptions of darkness, but John takes it another step. He says there's spiritual darkness. And you're going to read in a moment, I'm going to show you this spiritual darkness is deceptive. It's lie-based. It will be people who constantly tell lies and cover up. They'll have stories that are cover up and cover up and cover up. I've always been told if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. You know, if you live deceptively, you constantly got to remember, what did I tell to whom? Over and over all the time. So it is a picture of deception. It's a cover up. You will present yourself as one way when your entire life is completely different. James says this person is a double-minded or a double-souled person in their life. They're really two-faced people, literally. So there's this cover-up to present who I am, or who you might think I am, and then there's the cover-up of who I really am. I want to remind you that darkness hates light. We're going to see this in a passage in just a moment. Darkness hates it, can't stand it, doesn't want to be around it. And let me tell you one of the reasons why, if you want to bring it in personal. Darkness doesn't want to be exposed. It doesn't want to have exposure. It likes hiding in its darkness and everything that goes along with it. It doesn't want to change. Guys, let me just tell you, as we live our life in Christ, it's a constant change and a rearrangement in our life. Our God never changes, but you and I, we mature in Him. There's always a rearrangement or a changing going on as we become more and more like Christ. Obviously, the picture of darkness to John is it's absent from God. It's just the total opposite of light, which you know this, and it becomes darkness. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, and this was written long ago, but it pertains to our very timeline in our day today. Look at John 3, 17 through 20 for just a moment. I want you to hear this. Some of you need to hear this, and you need to let it. You need to absorb this. Some of us have a picture that God, and he sent Jesus because Jesus is this condemning person. That he's just this guy that tells you what you can't do, hinders your life, binds your life, all those things. Now, I want you to see what John says. A lot of you already know this, but some of you may be hearing it for the very first time. God did not send his son into the world that he might judge or condemn the world. So the condemnation is not coming, it's already here. Okay? But that the world might be saved through him. Here's the condemnation, verse 18. It said, anyone who believes in him is not judged or condemned. But anyone who does not believe is already judged or condemned. We can have Jesus coming as a condemning king. It's if you don't believe in him, you're condemned already. And we'll get to a deeper question from this in just a second. Because he's not believed in the name of the one and the only Son of God. Verse 19, this then is the judgment. Here's the problem. The light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For anyone who practices wicked things hates the light. Remember I told you that? Avoids it, goes around it, so that their deeds may not be exposed, which is a picture of deception. Darkness hates light. Darkness is a deceptive lifestyle. It's just one lie after another. It's just I'm projecting one life when I'm really living another. And it practices evil. I want you to see that the Lord came to rescue us. He came for the rescue. That's where we're going to hit in just a moment. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6. Let's see where Satan has this situation in line for us. In their case, the God of this age has blinded. Blinded is a reference to darkness, obviously. The minds of the unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 5, we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as slaves because of Jesus. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. To the person living in darkness, and choosing darkness, continually choosing darkness, to that person who is doing that, Satan has blinded you. And this comes out of our Wednesday night study as well. If you want to pray for people, how do I pray for people, especially those that need to be saved, that you pray that the Lord would start removing the veil, it would start opening their eyes. We'll get to that verse in just a moment in the book of Acts. We'll get to that point, and that's how we begin to pray for people. Listen, I can remember, you all know me as a preacher. I remind you, Julie didn't marry a preacher. Last thing in the world I wanted to be was a preacher. I have incredible supernatural stories of how the Lord called me, continually revealed to me what it was I needed to do. I was in corporate America. I wasn't in the ministry. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I really didn't. And I could tell when Julie was praying for me. And I just want you to know, I didn't really appreciate it, okay? I loved her, but I knew her praying for me. I knew I felt it, and I fought it. Guys, I'm gonna speak to my tribe. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I just want to be real candid. I want to be real transparent with you today. I knew when my wife was praying for me and it would tick me off. You know why it would do that? Because I had my life I wanted. I had my life and I had it figured out. And I had it figured out how I was going to get it, who I was going to step on to get it, who I was going to take advantage of to get it when it comes into a corporate world, promotion-wise, all that stuff. Y'all understand me? And I knew what it needed. I knew what needed to happen. The conniving, may I say. The jockeying for position. The puzzle you had to put together, the chess match that had to occur for everything that I craved in my world. And I knew that the Spirit of God was calling me to a life I didn't really want to surrender to. I didn't really want to do it. But I just want to tell you something. That day came to where I surrendered to His call in my life. It changed everything in our life. It changed all the focus of our family completely. Completely changed that. It's incredible the life that He's been able to give Julie and me. It's just incredible what He's done in our life. We can't thank Him enough. But I just want you to know, I say this to a lot of guys, especially my tribe here that I've known for a long time, over 30 years. I've told them several times that I'm glad I met them on this side of Jesus instead of the other side of Jesus, all right? Because I have another side of Jesus. And it was all selfish. It was rebellious. I wanted to be a good person. I just didn't want to be a godly person. You know, and I know you're looking going, well, you're my preacher. I want you to look at me and say, you're my preacher, because I am no longer that guy. I was leading my family away from the things of God. And I knew when people were praying for me, even specifically when Julie was praying for me. Listen, Satan wants to blind the light of the gospel. Blind your eyes to the light and the understanding of the gospel of Christ. When you pray for people, pray that the veil would be removed. Pray that their eyes would be open. We're going to see that in Acts 26 here in just a moment. So John is saying that Jesus is the light of the world. John 8:12 is a verse. It's one of the I am statements of Christ in the Gospel of John. He said, Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I've got a life in Christ I could have never created for myself. Could have never done it for myself. We just sang that song. When I see the lines to that song and the lyrics of that song, it scares me to think of where I would be if I had not given and surrendered my life to Christ. It scares me to where I would be, what I would be doing, who I would be harming, who I would be hurting, all in the picture of me getting what I want. So know that Satan is trying to blind people, their heart and their mind. He's trying to blind them to what the light of the gospel is. And Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And there's a great promise there. You'll never walk in darkness. You'll never walk in darkness alone. So here's the question, the deeper question. You may say to me, Jeff, you live your light and leave me alone and let me live my darkness. I've actually had people say that to me. Just leave me alone, preacher. You live your life, let me live mine, which really boils down to you saying you're living in the light of the gospel of Christ, then you live your light and let me live my darkness. Let me tell you why I can't turn away from that, okay? If some of you who know me deeply, I will engage instead of disengage. Like I was leaving Frankfurt the other day and I saw a man yelling at a young lady in a parking lot. And I slowed down to the point traffic behind me was probably frustrated. But I could tell by his posture, I could tell by, I didn't know what he was saying, but I could tell what he was saying. I could tell how that was changing and cowering her posture. And I started easing over to the shoulder of the road, and I'm watching and I'd already made my mind up. I was going to get out and go over there and hopefully disengage what was going on there. I remember one time we left a UK football game in the Louisville, and we weren't planning to beat them, but we had. And so Andrew was like in junior high, he was young, and he and a buddy of his were mouthing at people as we were walking by. I said, y'all be quiet. Because we were walking down a place where tailgating was going on. So this one guy from UK kind of had this Barney Fife kind of figure, you know what I'm saying? His mouth was bigger than his whole body. And I even told him, I said, man, you need to hush. And it wasn't long till these three guys, and obviously they were gym bros, you know. They came on him and they were getting ready. They were going after him. And I left and I went over in the middle of it. And I had one guy, I grabbed him by the shirt, T-shirt. And you know how you'll fold that shirt up in your fist? You know what I'm saying? I grabbed it and gave it that and pulled him up close. And he said, I'm getting ready to swing at you. I said, don't hit me. I said, you don't want to hit me. I'm a preacher. And he said, hey guys, quit. This dude's a preacher. You know, and I said, listen, you got to stop because you're going to hurt that boy. One of you definitely going to hurt him. All three of you, it'll be more than hurt. You're going to end up in jail. You're getting ready to do something stupid. I'm just giving you a picture of me. I engage. I don't disengage. So when people tell me that you live your light, I'll live my darkness, I have to engage. Because number one, I'm called to that. Number two, I understand that. I understand that. And here's the thing. Your darkness will destroy you. And I care enough about you that my call to God was about reminding you of how your darkness will destroy you. You make this your home, but one day hell will be your home forever. I don't want that. The Son of God doesn't want that. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He doesn't want that for you. I'm going to engage because your darkness affects innocent people. Innocent people. You continually to live sin, and what you do will affect. I pull over drunk drivers all the time. I pull them over, I'll call dispatch. I've got a badge, that's okay. I'm a chaplain, but with the sheriff's department, but I don't get out, but I'll follow them and I'll call them and I'll call. I can't handle that. I'm just gonna tell you, I can't handle that. If you wanna do that in your house, that's your problem. You get behind that wheel, it's a whole nother issue for me. And I've pulled over many people over and over. And I've also been a part of checkpoints with police officers. And I've seen people that go to our church at these checkpoints. And I remind them on Sunday, I saw you Friday night. Whether they remember if I saw them on Friday night or not. So my point is, your darkness, that's a small fraction of an illustration that your darkness affects other people. I'm going to engage. I'm going to engage because I don't want you destroying you. I'm going to engage because I don't want you destroying other people's lives. It comes to a point where you wound people. Just in the way that we get in all that stuff of our life, all that emotional baggage, and we get angry, we get all kinds of things, and we end up destroying. It just becomes a picture of crushing woundedness in people's lives. It affects them physically and mentally and emotionally. The deception affects all of us that we talked about earlier. The people's ways in darkness can determine your whole life directions and even the directions of other people. I'm going to engage. God's called me to engage people in their darkness to remind you mostly you're destroying you. You're affecting others. And not only that, you're affecting, you're hellbound. I mean, just stop and think about that for a moment. I know, what is it? Brad Paisley sings a song that Kids, young kids today don't think past Friday night. It's probably true of all of us. But we've got to think beyond. We got to think beyond that. You know, you don't want hell as your home at all. So the church of the Lord Jesus engages in this, from you destroying you, from you hurting others, and for hell being your home. What's the big deal? You live your light, I live my darkness. It's destroying you. It's hard to stand by and watch people self-destruct right in front of them because of what they're doing. You're perishing. And God's called me to remind you that he sent Jesus not to condemn the world, but to save it. That you're in darkness, okay, but he sent you light to get out of darkness. He has sent that to you. And it becomes a beautiful picture of his love for us. There's a way out. There's absolutely a way out. This Easter season, I hope that you realize that God sent his son to rescue us. And he sent his son to transfer us. We'll get to that verse again in a moment. Into the light, in the kingdom of the light of his son. Again, we go back to the enemy saying that he's designed his life and his work to blind us. I went through a motorcycle phase. Many of you all know that. So I had a fat boy Harley with ape hangers and riding up here, and I had the tassels on this off of it, you know, and it was loud. It was loud. And then I also had an Ultra Classic, which is more of a car on two wheels, right? And so we were riding, a bunch of us were riding to Friendship, Indiana, and we were there for an event, and so I was riding with this guy I really didn't know, and we were talking back and forth. We branched off from everybody else, and we were talking, and he goes, I can't believe I'm riding motorcycles with the preacher. And Jason, I'm thinking of when I pulled up to you at the gas pump that day. Just now remembering that. And I think Jason loaded his gun in his pocket, is what I'm trying to say. So I was talking to him. He said, I can't believe I'm riding motorcycles with a preacher. And I said, well, you know, what do you think about that? He goes, I just don't believe in your God. I don't believe in a God like you. I said, okay. And I said, I was looking for an answer, and we teach here, look for that spiritual 911 sometimes when you need guidance on how to respond. And so I was walking along with him, and I said, do I have to tell you that there's a devil? And he turned around and looked at me. He goes, no. He said, I've lived with him for years. And I said, well then, if you believe there's a devil, why would you even not believe there's a God? And it led to this, these verses, 2 Corinthians 4:4 and others, where it says Satan wants to blind you to the light of the gospel of Christ. I said, and he's doing a pretty good job of it. And I know we didn't have a whole lot of conversation after that, but I know he pondered that. I mean, we rode back together, but I know he pondered that and thought about that. Over and over, Satan is there to blind so that you don't see it. And you don't even see the own destruction you're bringing to your life and your others. And that one day, without you surrendering to Christ, I just want to remind you that hell will be your home forever. You can't check out. There's a great preacher, E.V. Hill, has got a great sermon. And he said, hell has no exits. If you wake up there, you're going to wake up there forever. And I think part of hell is you're going to remember every opportunity that the Lord pricked your heart with the Holy Spirit to remind you that he came to rescue you from the very darkness that sent you to hell. I believe that. I think that comes out of the story of Lazarus, not raised from the dead Lazarus, but the beggar Lazarus. Because he keeps saying to him, son, remember, over and over and over again. So you live your light, I'll live my darkness. Guys, I want to tell you, I have to engage. I can't make you live that life. The way I explain it is the way the old country preacher explained it, is I deliver the mail. And I've got to make sure that I deliver the mail. It's up to you if you open it or not. But I want to remind you that this darkness will destroy you not only for now, but it's meant to destroy you forever. And you don't have to live that way. Look at John 12:46 for a moment. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. You see that? He wants to pull you out of that. He wants to rescue that. Acts 26, verse 18, for just a moment. Verse 17 says, he's sending them to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light. I told you we'd get to this verse in a moment. And from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and share among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I want you to look at how 1 Peter carries on what John writes. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession. Remember, he wants believers. He wants his own folks. So that you may proclaim the praises of the one who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous, marvelous light. I've got a church, a picture of a church that somebody in our church gave to me. I have no idea who it was. It was anonymous. In the border of the church picture has got sayings that I've said throughout the years. And I've read it before, but the other day I picked it up and I reread it. So I'll not give you all the sayings that are written in the margins. But one of them is this. I said, I would rather live with Christ in the unknown than to live without him in the known. A lot of us want to know. The only thing I need to know is him. You're talking about hell. Listen, I want you to learn to live a life of Christ now. It's incredible. It's mind-boggling. It's an adventure like you can't ever imagine in your life. And we give praise to the one who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous, marvelous light. It's a light. It's a life that projects light. Listen, Christian t-shirts and bumper stickers don't get it. It's you living a light of life. Like you changing a room when you walk to it, whether it's your high school or wherever it is. It's just the Christ in you illuminates around you. And that's who we are. We are a reflection of the glory of God. Let's get back to the verse that we started with in Colossians 1:13-14. And I want you to see the transfer or the switch. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness. Rescued. We're going to give thanks for the rescue during our invitation. Thank you, Lord, that you rescued us, that you came to rescue us. And he transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. We have redemption. He's bought us back. We have the forgiveness of sins. And it's all in and through him. During our invitation, whether you come forward or not, and you may want to come, you've been here and you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Christ. I just pray that today would be that day. Don't put it off. Don't gamble with all of eternity. In this moment, the Holy Spirit is drawing you, the Father is drawing you, then you respond to him. You come. If you're here and he has transferred you, he has rescued you, let's give thanks. I mean, the songs we're going to sing during the invitation can literally be your prayers, and they can literally be your praise for the rescue and the transfer, the switch from darkness into his marvelous light. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come to him, okay? You come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, would you find your spot? Will you do that? And you respond. Come. Okay.